This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. The month of October was registered as the warmest October ever recorded since accurate readings began in 1861, according to the World Meteorological Organization. And the year 2004 is shaping up to be the fourth hottest year on record. You know, you can find evidence for global warming all over the world, but perhaps none as dramatic as the number of glaciers around the globe that are melting, from Africa to South America. In the last decade alone, the world's glaciers have shrunk more than 4%, and by 2025, the famous snows on Mount Kilimanjaro could be gone. Geologist Lonnie Thompson has traveled the world documenting the melting of the world's glaciers, and this week he presented his most recent findings at the fall meeting of the American Geophysical Union. He joins us today to talk about what melting glaciers can tell us about global warming. He's found 5,200-year-old plants, under a frozen glacier that provides clues about the changing climate today. So if you'd like to join in that discussion, our number is 1-800-989-8255. Lonnie Thompson is a distinguished university professor in the Department of Geological Sciences and a senior research scientist at the Byrd Polar Research Center at Ohio State University in Columbus. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much.
Getting warm out there.
Yes, it is, and it's pleasant here in San Francisco.
tell us about that. You've been hop, skipping, and jumping, sort of like the Spider-Man of glaciers. You go around to different places and climb them.
I've been very fortunate to be able to visit many different glaciers over the last 28 years, and it's really surprising the uniformity of the story that these glaciers are telling. We drill ice cores from these archives to look at the past through that record, but we can also observe what's happening to the glaciers themselves in their area that they cover, and the shrinkage that's taking place is really dramatic.
Let's talk about some interesting findings you made about this leaf, some vegetation you found buried at the 5,200 years ago.
On the margins of the Quelccaya ice cap. Quelccaya ice cap is the largest tropical glacier on Earth, and we have about 70% of the tropical glaciers on this planet in Peru. Mm-hmm. So it's an area that has considerable ice at these very low latitudes where people don't generally think about glaciers. But along the margins of this ice cap that we've been actually monitoring the retreat that has taken place since 1963, there have in the recent years been exposed plants that were covered in the past. And these plants are they're not woody tissue. These are wetland plants, but they're rooted and they're in place. And they're remarkably well preserved. And because they're so well preserved, we know that they tell us a number of things about what happened in the past. First of all, it would have had to be warmer at some time in the past for these plants to have grown in these sites. And secondly, because they are so well preserved, and they are so well preserved that they can actually do DNA on the leaves from these plants, we know whatever happened back then had to be very abrupt. And so these plants, and the first find we had there was in 2002, and we collected the plant, and we've had our specialists like Blanca Leon at the University of Texas to identify the plant in relative to the plants that live in the Andes today. And we know that it's a Distichia miscoides, and then we were able to carbon date it, and we use two different labs to get those dates, and this plant is 5,200 years old. And so we know that something happened very dramatically at that time to the climate system. And since then, we've actually been looking around the world at different archives and a record of an event at this time, and it's really astounding where we see it. We have it in our ice cores from Kilimanjaro in Africa. It's the lowest isotopic value in the 11,700-year history that's recorded there. We see it in cave deposits in southern Israel, the biggest event in over 13,000 years. It's interesting that Ötzi, the Iceman, who came out of the Austrian Alps in the glaciers there in 1991, also dates to 5,200 years before present. And here in North America, I a few days ago gave the Emiliani lecture here, and it turns out Emiliani, in his career, actually published a paper in Science back in 1979 on a sinkhole, a spring down in Florida. And in the early part of the Holocene, when there was less water and it was dry, this was a source of water for both people and animals. And people actually lived on a ledge around this spring. And the spring rose, the water in this spring, and flooded these people 5,220 years ago. And they know that by dating human bones and artifacts from that time.
So something global happened.
Something global, very abrupt, and showing up in many different archives.
Any guess at what that might have been?
Well, we've been looking at possible forcings, and certainly if you look at the residual C14 measured in tree rings, and you look at that record for the last 7,000 years, what you see is there was a large event, very much like the Maunder minimum that occurred in recorded history, where we had a reduction in output of the sun, and like the Spore minimum before that, only this was much larger. And so we think that might have been, or at least certainly a candidate for the forcing that may have caused this abrupt event.
So there was an abrupt output in solar output? Is that what you're saying? That happened over a period of a year or shorter?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the there's a tree ring record by Bailey and Brown up in Ireland and England. Their narrowest tree ring occurs in 5,194 years before present in that entire record. So it appears to have been quite an abrupt event, and therefore you have to look for something that can change over a relatively short period of time. And as I say, I think we do have good evidence. The coolest parts of the Little Ice Age are attributed to these periods of reduced solar output.
Does that give us any foreboding or foretelling of what we might go through today?
Well, I think it tells us that our climate system is very sensitive to change. This was not a great forcing, and yet the response was very large. And again, this is a natural forcing. Mm-hmm. And if you go back 5,200 years ago, we maybe had 250 million people on the planet, and in today's world, we got 6.4 billion people. And such an event would have tremendous economic and social implications. But I think the take-home story is that it's it tells us that we live in a sensitive climate environment for our planet, and I think we need to be very prudent about understanding what the natural forcings have been, but also making sure that human activities don't push us across one of these thresholds.
So it sounds like our climate is sort of built on a house of cards. It doesn't take much to tip it over,
into
a different condition.
Exactly, and I think we need to really be concerned what the humans are doing as far as land use changes, changing the albedo of the planet, the greenhouse gases, this continuous rise that we've been monitoring now for since 1958, and of course with our ice core records, we have this long-term perspective on these gases. And the fact that we're now at about 380 part per million per volume, that's rising in the last couple of years, about 2 parts per million by volume each year. And then when you look at this very long record of these gases, and here at AGU, they actually presented a record going back almost a million years from Antarctica. And, we in the natural world, these values were never over about 290 parts per million by volume. And so I think this is something that we certainly need to be concerned about as we look at our climate in the future.
So as a glaciologist, are we headed toward a date where the glaciers are all going to be gone?
I think that it's very clear from our work in the Andes, the rate of retreat of the largest outlet glacier coming off of Quelccaya is 40 times faster now than it was just 2 decades ago. And we just got some recent measurements off of our accumulation stakes, stakes we put on the summit of Kilimanjaro on those ice fields. We drilled over there in 2000, and in 2000 we put the stakes in and measured them, and they've been remeasured 3 times. But since February of 2000, we have lost over 2 meters of ice vertically from the surface down on those ice fields. And the lower margins of those ice fields are also retreating upwards. So they are not accumulating any mass in today's climate. And there's evidence since we drilled over there that, in fact, a melting has started to occur. There was a lake that actually burst out of the side of Fjordvanger Glacier in 2003, and it's documented with photos. And because so many tourists go up there each year, about 10,000, this is very unusual because it hasn't been observed in the past. And ice is a threshold system. In the past, we believe the ice fields on Kilimanjaro were losing ice mainly by sublimation, which requires 7.5 times more energy to remove the ice than melting. Melting is a much more energy-efficient way, and it would appear that on Kilimanjaro and many other tropical mountains around the world, we're actually passing that melting threshold.
So, are you saying that in the greenhouse gases we are releasing now, there's a danger we could suddenly flip something quickly that would happen a lot quicker like it did in that burying that vegetation?
Well, I think that this is all of our high-resolution time records, climate records, and particularly from the ice core, show that in our the history of the climate on this planet that it has changed very abruptly over very short periods of time. And I think that that scenario certainly is on the table for the future. And I should point out that we did revisit this Quelccaya ice cap this summer, and we collected another set of plants in a valley about 3 kilometers from our original collection site. And we collected 3 plants. And two of those plants, the carbon dates came back about 5,000 years in age. The third collection site, which was in a different place, those dates came back much older. And in fact, when I got the first set of dates from Woods Hole, they were greater than 48,000 years. And this is, a wetland plant. It's actually a moss, and it's perfectly preserved. The cell structure is preserved. And when I got the date, I told them that there had to be a problem here. And so they agreed to rerun it.
All right. We're running out of time, but the summation, you're saying that you found evidence twice of where this has flipped very quickly.
Well, we got a second date from another lab, and they all indicate that this new plant is over 50,000 years in age. And the only way we can understand that is that it was actually covered by ice until the warming in this that's occurring right now.
Dr. Thompson, thank you very much for taking time to join with us, and good luck to you.
And thank you very much.
Lonnie Thompson, the Distinguished University Professor, Department of Geological Sciences at Ohio State University. Short break, come back, switching gears, stem cells. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.